It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Fox News Podcasts presents the Brett Baer Podcast with Fox News chief political anchor, Brett Baer.
Joining us tonight is Jonathan Carl. He is the chief Washington correspondent for ABC News. He's also the author of a new book called Tired of Winning, about former President Donald Trump. John, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Brett.
Hey, I want to talk about the book and all the interesting quotes in there and some of the news out of there. I want to ask you about your day job and what you're hearing in Democratic circles about the Biden campaign. I've talked to a bunch up in, you know, Washington and other places about their level of concern right now about where they stand, about the age issue, and about if anything's going to change with him as the nominee.
Well, there's two ways to answer that. First, from the Biden campaign itself, they express confidence both behind the scenes and publicly, especially at the prospect that they'll be running against Donald Trump. They think that Biden has beaten Trump, that Trump is somebody that he can beat rather easily again. But beyond the confines of the Biden campaign, there is a real concern in Democratic circles. They look at Biden's approval rating. It is at historically low levels. It's at the kind of level that you see an incumbent president heading towards a losing reelection campaign. There's concern, if not about his age and whether or not he can go through with it, clearly the perception among voters that he is too old. And look at the polls. They see Democratic voters practically screaming for an alternative. Democratic voters saying they would like to see somebody other than Joe Biden running as the Democratic nominee.
But as far as that shoe ever dropping, there's just not logistically how that happens, right?
Look, he's the nominee. Barring some major health event, Joe Biden is the Democratic nominee.
Yeah. All right, I want to talk about the book. You have this chapter called Team of Sycophants, in which you write that a lot of the criticism is really from top Republicans, some of them who were in the White House of former President Trump. Even as president, that respect eluded Donald Trump. He never garnered the reverence and admiration he had historically accompanied the office he held, especially among those who served him. An astonishingly high number of people who held senior positions in his administration came to believe that he was woefully unfit for the presidency. Obviously, in my interview with the former president, I mentioned some of those, listing them.
Yeah.
But you found that across the board in some of your reporting for the book.
It's across the board. And I want to say one thing important about this book. I would say more than 90% of the people that I spoke to for this book were Republicans. The vast majority of them, people that served for Donald Trump, supported Donald Trump, some of whom still support him to this day. But if you look at the people that he put in the most important positions in his administration, Secretary of Defense, Chief of Staff, White House Counsel's Office, the Department of Justice, senior people in every one of those positions have expressed publicly, in most cases, real concerns about Donald Trump and what it would mean if he returned to the White House, and searing criticism of what he was like as president. So this is not coming from weak-kneed rhino Republicans on the Hill, or certainly not from Democrats. They echo that. That's irrelevant as far as I'm concerned. That's just politics. But these are people that saw Donald Trump up close, who are very worried about what it would mean if he returned to the White House.
Not surprisingly, the former president put out a Truth Social post right after your book came out, saying, among other things, this: failed ABC fake news reporter Jonathan Carl just wrote another bad book. He works so hard, but has so little talent. Some people have it, some people don't. Goes on to say many other false stories in Carl's very boring book, but nothing worth mentioning. Has he had a good review of any of these books?
He was quite positive about my first book, Front Row at the Trump Show. Actually, publicly, on multiple occasions, said that I treated him fairly, which he said surprised me, but you treated me fairly. And he's acknowledged that I've known him for a long time. Look, Brett, I have known Donald Trump since the early 1990s. I went into the White House as a White House correspondent, first under Obama. Democrats criticized me as being too tough on Obama. When Trump came in, I felt it was my duty to treat him fairly and with respect, and I believe that he knows that I did so. So I would say, at least in that long statement that you showed, at least he acknowledged that I work hard. But I've had a good relationship with him over the years because I treated him fairly. I called it as it was, and that's what I'm doing in this book.
We'll continue right after this.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network, subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
One of the things you did in the book, and I'm going to put up this timeline of his legal cases, and they're coming like one after the other. You talked about the interaction between the former president and his lawyers about the scheduling for these cases. And he was not pleased about it because some of it is right in the middle of the primaries.
Yeah, he blew up at one point when he was confronted with the reality that one of his court cases was happening right before Super Tuesday. Now, even more, we have the federal election interference case is going to happen literally the day before Super Tuesday to begin. And this he reacted in fury at his lawyers. Although I think what has happened now, Brett, is there is very little difference between his legal defense and his campaign. His campaign is essentially one of pointing to himself as a victim and avowing vengeance against those that are going after him, he says, for political reasons. So I think actually, you know, if you look at Trump just over the past month and a half or so, he has actually spent about as much time in that courtroom in New York in the civil case as he has said, as he has spent in actual campaign events. This is in many ways a campaign to keep himself out of legal trouble, he believes, by getting elected president and doing away with these cases insofar as he can.
I would argue that he thinks politically that being in that courtroom and talking to reporters is a positive politically for him, at least in that case in Manhattan. But about the January 6th case, you write about interaction between Jack Smith, the special counsel, and Trump lawyers just before that indictment comes down for the January 6th case.
Yeah, this was fascinating. The Trump lawyers had been given an opportunity to talk to Jack Smith before a possible indictment on January 6th. It was a lot of secrecy surrounding this. I got a blow-by-blow account of what happened behind closed doors early in the morning as they came to Washington to the annex office of the Department of Justice to meet with Smith and his prosecutors. And the fascinating thing about this is they came in, met Jack Smith, two of his lead prosecutors, shook hands, they gave them water to drink, they sat down, said, okay, so what do you have? And one of the lead lawyers, John Lauro for Trump, spoke for nearly an hour, outlining why they thought that there should not be a indictment on January 6th. Jack Smith did not ask a single question. Neither of his prosecutors asked a single question. They said, okay, goodbye, they left. And later that day, they dropped an indictment, not on January 6th, but it was the superseding indictment on the classified documents case. A week later, the indictment on January 6th came, incorporating arguments against many of the things that John Lauro had presented at that secret meeting.
Last thing, John, do you think, you know, what we've seen so far is each indictment, each time he's been in a trial, his poll numbers have either stayed the same or gone up. His fundraising has either stayed the same or gone up. Do you think as we get along that that dynamic is going to change as he's facing different court cases, some that many legal experts say have a little bit more bite than the early ones?
Well, we don't know what happens if it's a conviction. I think the case that's most likely to get to a possible conviction before the election would be the election interference case, the federal case. And how does the public react to a conviction? But I also think there's something else important here. Yes, his poll numbers have gone up with each indictment. He's gotten a message. The message is one of retribution. He says, in 2016, I said, I am your voice. Now I say, I am your retribution. He really means his retribution, going after the people that are going after him. I think there's been far too little attention paid to what he is actually talking about as a candidate for president, and far too little attention paid, not to the legal cases, we know those cases, chapter and verse, but what a second Trump term would look like. I argue in this book that it would be quite different than what we saw in the first term. And I think it's something that people need to confront and to deal with.
Yeah, we've talked about it on this show with a lot of punditry, including Brick Hume and others. Yeah. Jonathan, as always, thank you. The book is called Tired of Winning. Thanks for coming on.
Great. Thanks a lot, Brett. Great to talk to you.
Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts, and Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
I'm Charles Payne. Listen to my Unstoppable Prosperity podcast so I can get you making money right now. Whether stocks are hitting new all-time highs or in free-fall mode, opportunities abound. So why are so many potential investors still sitting on the sidelines? In a new season of my podcast, I'm going to get you in the game. After 38 years on Wall Street, I'm ready to impart some lessons and get you invested in the greatest wealth-generating machine in history. Listen anytime, everywhere at foxbusinesspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.